Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life this Monday to listen to my radio program. Today is Monday, August 1st, 2022. Well, I hope everyone is doing well on this Monday. Last week was a torrential, difficult week for most everyone here living in Missouri and now parts of Kentucky that was hit with devastating, torrential, hard, downpouring rain, which resulted in flooding, creeks overflowing. There were many people displaced here in Missouri. I know I was driving to an appointment, and I looked to my left, and to my left was a shopping center that I frequented many times. It was now underwater, 3 feet of water just flowing into the lot. Car roofs were sticking up out of the water, and I was just devastated looking at that. Well, Missouri may qualify for federal aid to help the millions of dollars of damage to people's properties and small businesses. Well, last Tuesday was an example of the destructive damage done by water, rainwater, creeks overflowing. But what I want to do today on The Cross in the Desert is talk to you about not the destructive waters of a flood, but the healing waters that come from God, that come from Christ. There is a healing, living water, in contrast to this destructive water, that all of us are invited to. And I'm going to share with you from various scriptures in the Bible this wonderful metaphor and how water represents the healing, restorative power of Christ. You don't have to be a seasoned veteran of the Bible. If you begin reading in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you're going to come across the idea, the concept of living water as a metaphor for God's Spirit. And especially after last week when we were all overwhelmed with the destructive flooding waters, I want to talk to you those waters of healing, that healing rain. Think about it this way, water. How long can you and I do without water? I'm talking about life-sustaining water, the supply of water, the water bottle, the drink from a faucet. You can only about go maybe 3 days before you die if you're cut off from water supply. You simply cannot live without water. And it brings me to my first illustration this morning from the New Testament, and that is the Samaritan woman at the well and her encounter with Jesus. I want to talk to you a little bit now about that living water. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Now, let me tell you something before I go on about this woman. She came alone every day because she was living with a man, and that was an immoral reputation. And the other women knew about her not being married but living with a man. And so she didn't want to encounter all of that flack from other women, so she came alone every day. But today was different. Jesus was there. He was there for one simple reason. The Spirit had prompted him to cross over into Samaria. Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. There is a history of division between these two races, but Jesus didn't care about that. He crossed over the racial barrier because he knew he had this encounter, this special time with this woman. Jesus sees her coming alone. He says to her, "Give me a drink." And the Samaritan woman was startled because Samaritans and Jews don't get along, of course, and she was startled that a Jewish rabbi is speaking to her. "How is it that you, a Jew," she asks, "ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, the water in Jacob's well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Well, the rest of the passage talks about how this woman discerns that Jesus is a prophet. And he says to her, "You have had 5 husbands. You're now living with a man you're not married to." And she is startled. She believes the message of Jesus being the Messiah and runs to tell everyone that she has met the Messiah. But what I want to offer you this morning is in this passage, this statement that the spring of water that Jesus is offering the Samaritan woman wells up into eternal life. So Jesus is offering more than just abundant water. He's offering living water. Living water in the Hebrew is mayim chayim, mayim chayim, and it is literally water from a natural and moving or flowing source. It is not stagnant, not carried by man, not held in cisterns or a pond. Mayim chayim is water bubbling from a spring, flowing in a river, and falling rain. It is life-giving, life-transforming, clean water. And it's the water here that washes, that cleanses. So in Jesus' day, the water in the mikvah, the mikvah baths, was used for ritual cleansing. Before entering the temple, you had to be cleansed, and there was that type of living water. In fact, mikvahs used for ritual cleansing by Orthodox Jews today are still required to be sourced in part by what's called living water. Living water is the flowing, natural sourced water that cleanses. And in the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, living water depicts the very presence of God. So it's not just ordinary water, but what it represents. And what Jesus was offering the Samaritan woman was not this water, this stagnant water from the well. He was offering himself to her as the source of living water. When you look throughout the Bible, we see that living water is connected with the very presence of God. Living water flowed from the Garden of Eden, where the presence of God dwelt with man before the fall. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became 4 rivers, Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Now, as we go forward in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah describes the presence of God as that living water. "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. Going forward, the other prophets, Ezekiel and Zechariah, describe the flowing waters of the presence of God flowing from the temple in Jerusalem. And you look in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel describes a vision in which water flows out from the temple, growing deeper and deeper as it reaches farther out, forming a flowing river. On the banks of the river grow trees for food and leaves for healing. You see this in the book of Revelation. Zechariah equates the waters flowing from Jerusalem out to the seas with the rule of the Lord over all of the earth. On that day, Zechariah writes, living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea, and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter, and the Lord will be king over all of the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name one. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 8 through 9. So this living water is not just cleansing, where it cleanses us from our pollution of sin. This living water is also symbolic of the rule of God out of all over the all of the presence of humanity across all of the earth. And so it was specifically living water, indicated of the presence of God, used by the Jews for ritual cleansing. Now, this is why you need to study the Old Testament, and you come to the New Testament, and here is the meaning that Jesus invests in this concept of living water. It's on the last day of the feast in John chapter 7. The crowds have been immersing themselves in living water, preparing to enter the temple. Now, here's what John records in his gospel about this event. On the last day of that feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified, crucified for our sins. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. The living water, again, is not only the presence of God, the cleansing of God, but it's the Spirit of God. It's what Jesus described both to the Samaritan woman and here in his declaration at the feast. The living water he gives flows from within the heart of a believer. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came and went, rested upon some, but was also withdrawn from some. But now, after Jesus has been glorified, crucified, died, buried, and resurrected, after his glorification, Jesus Christ has given the Holy Spirit, that living water, to dwell within believers. And it's a gift that cannot be earned. The life-sustaining, thirst-quenching, ever-cleansing, fully healing Holy Spirit dwells and bubbles up within us and flows out from us. This is the living water that he opens and offers for us. It's like the old Christian song, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I want to quote to you a little bit more from an article by the Christian Crier, Pathos Production. The water we're talking about this morning is so significant. The washing of the Word. The Word of God is often referred to as water in the Bible because the Word acts as a cleansing agent, which explains what Paul meant when he wrote concerning Jesus' cleansing of the church, that he might sanctify her, cleanse her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 through 27. Ezekiel writes about where God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and you shall not have the power of idols destroying your lives. I will cleanse you. And that's in Ezekiel chapter 36, 25. So this clean water, this presence of God, this life-sustaining gift that God wants to give everyone who seeks him, will cleanse you from all uncleanness and from all of the idols that are dominating your life. Now, in the author of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 writes, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Water, of course, being the symbol of baptism after we've believed on Christ and we are baptized. So when we look at this cleansing water of Christ, we see it is a gift from God. Isaiah talks about this water as salvation, as eternal life, as a gift. He says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. And of course, Jesus, going back to this illustration, said to the woman of the well, the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is speaking this profound message to the Samaritan woman. Jesus refers to this water, this living water. It springs up into eternal life. It's an invitation for you and me to come and drink from the well. He is the source of this living water. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, the last book of the Bible, Jesus says, to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. And the water, this river of the water of life, the bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is this gift for the thirsty, this source of living water in the New Jerusalem. And again, we saw how he used that on the day of feast in a figurative way, that the Spirit, this living water, would indwell the believer, those who trust in Christ. Jesus is that source of living water. And when you go back into the Old Testament and back into the prophet Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, he makes this pronouncement about those who have forsaken God. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so God is appealing to those Jewish people, to his people that have gone on into an idolatrous relationship, forsaking them. He says, I am the fountain of living waters. You have substituted broken cisterns that can hold no water and forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So water in the Bible represents the cleansing of the sinner by the washing of the Word of God. Water is also the source of the living water that springs up into eternal life. Jesus referred to the coming of the living water as the Holy Spirit, which will be poured out on all who believe. God is the source of this living water in both the Old and New Testament, and those who drink from it will never die, and indeed shall never be thirsty again. I want to thank this article from Pathos. It's an article written by Jack Wellman. But throughout these articles, there is one very clear presentation, I want you to understand. This symbol, this metaphor for God is so powerful. It's throughout Scripture. And in fact, when you go on in the Gospel of John, you pick up the same teaching again and again and again. And let me quote from you. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He's using bread as an illustration for himself. "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." It's this idea of believing on Christ as the source of everything that you need, the source of all truth, the source of all life. If you come hungering for truth and for righteousness, Jesus says, "I have bread. I am that bread of life. You will never hunger when you come to me. I will satisfy all of your spiritual hunger. You will never thirst again." He's speaking metaphorically, because "I am that living water that will sustain you. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." And so you see again and again how living water sustains us, how we as human beings can't do without water. We can go without food for an extended period of time, but we can't go without water. We will die. And God knows that, how important water is to us in a life-sustaining way. And he takes that illustration of water and he applies it to himself, and he says, "You as a human being cannot live without me." Now, many of us go on our daily routine. We have no religious affiliation. We have no religious yearnings in our heart. And we pretend we can live this complex human life without God. And God is saying to you this morning, "You cannot live without me sustaining you. I am the living water." Jesus is saying, "Come to me, you who are weary and carry many burdens, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. I have the living water that you need." You may say, "Well, I believe in God," but unless you believe in Jesus, he is God, the source of that living water. He wants to give you that water to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to cleanse you from all of your guilt and shame. So come to him this morning and believe on him and have that gift of living water. I want you to hear this very special song from Michael Sweet called "The River." Talks about the living water that I've been describing to you all morning.
If you're hurting, I'll take your pain. If your life is dry and weary, I'll bring the rain. If you're searching, I'll be the shore.
beautiful song of worship from Michael Sweet, talking about that river, that water of life that I've been describing and sharing with you this morning. It was no coincidence when the woman from Samaria came to drink from Jacob's well. It was not a coincidence. In fact, if you think about this incident in the Bible, you see there the beautiful timing of God. Jesus defied the religion and the racial discrimination of that day between Samaritans and Jews. And he made sure that he was sitting at that well at the exact moment that this Samaritan woman showed up with her bucket to draw water. And it's so perfect. The timing is just absolutely God timing. She came because of her shame. She came alone. And she never realized that God knew her need so deeply. He knew the hurt and the brokenness. He knew about the sin and the shame she was dealing with. That's why she came alone. And God met her, this Samaritan woman, right where she was at. God wants to meet you in the same way and bring healing and wholeness to you from his living water today. It's no accident that you're listening to this broadcast. It is the invitation that God has given you to come drink from the well. This morning, are you willing to drink from the well, willing to receive that gift of eternal life that Jesus is offering you? He wants you to come. It's an invitation to come and drink from this well of living water. And this morning on the cross in the desert, we've taken an exciting Bible journey. We've learned what living water is, symbolized by Scripture. God bless you. Have a great waking. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert.